Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to be reading verse 22 through 32. You may find this word this morning may have a little twist. But if you just stick with me and bear with me, I think you'll get the meaning. Matthew 14, verse 22 through 32. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer.
Yes, Lord.
It is I. Be not afraid."
Yes, Lord.
And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Amen. You may be seated. Our text this morning is, "Lord, bid me to come." Lord, bid me to come. Now, if you're reading further up, you'll find that what all is around this is Jesus feeding the multitude, and many of them were following him simply because he gave them food. They liked that. But Jesus had to go on to other things. So while he was dispersing the multitude, he sent the disciples on ahead. Get on the ship and move on. Now, when we look at this word, come, come is an easy word to understand and define. It means to advance, approach, to move into view. Jesus wants us to move into view. He wants us to approach him. And by his grace, we can advance to the throne.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus said in Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "And I will give you rest." If you want to rest from your labor, you must come.
Amen.
If you want to rest from the things that you have been burdened with and burdened down with, how many have been burdened down with just something?
Amen.
If there's something that you've been burdened down with, in order to release that, you must come. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." But the only way that I can learn of him, I must come. In our lifetime, whether in Christ or coming to Christ, whether saved or not saved, you're going to go through some things.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? Huh? I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how much money you got or don't have. I don't care who you are. You're going to go through some things in life. Before you reach your final destination, you will find out just who you are. And you will find out just how strong you thought you were. There has been things in my way that I said, I got it. I can handle it. And go to pick it up, I ain't got it. I can't handle it. Even though I have all the knowledge that I need to do what needs to be done, sometimes I need some help.
Amen. Amen.
Huh? That's why I can lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Sometimes in picking something else, it's not a matter of I need Jesus to come down here and pick it up with me, but I need to send somebody that's going to help me pick it up. Some of you will be confronted with things that you didn't expect. But no matter what happens, you must keep your eyes open. Keep your ears tuned on the words that comes from God's mouth. Reason being, the world can throw you a curve that you can't recover from. And believe me, the world is out there throwing. As they may say, he's throwing down. When we look at Peter, Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, if this is really you, huh? If this ain't a ghost I'm seeing, if I'm actually seeing you, let me come. Let me come out there. Let me, you doing it. Let me come. If it be you. Because, see, the rest of them was afraid. Not only was the winds blowing and going back and forth, but then they see something. How many, everything is all right when a storm is going. But if you see something flash when the lightning comes, you get afraid. What is that? Roger, go and check. What could that be? If it be you, Lord. See, Peter wanted to walk on the water. Whether we will admit it or not, there are things we want to do also. Either something we have seen or heard, but it has got our curiosity that, hey, let me try that. I haven't really seen nobody yet that wants to come up here. I ain't that curious, Pastor. Well, the thing is, in order to do whatever it is that you are curious about doing or want to do, you got to ask.
Amen.
And it must be in faith and not amiss.
Amen.
Peter asked. And Jesus said one word. Come. All he had to do was ask. He said, come. Just like our Father gave everything to his Son that he needed, Jesus has given us everything that the Father gave him that we need. All we got to do is come. Back then, in order for Peter to get off the ship, he had to pass by feelings, emotions, attitudes, and opinions. This is something all of the disciples had a little bit of.
Amen.
They may be different in some way, but they all had them. Matthew, the tax collector. Most tax collectors back then were corrupt. Even though he had changed, but they were so corrupt that the Jews would call them lepers. Peter had to pass Bartholomew, who's also known as Nathanael. It was Nathanael who said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Then there was Doubting Thomas, who said, "Unless I put my finger in the nail print, I'm not going to believe unless I..." And you already done followed with him for 3 years. He already told you what was to come. "But unless I put my finger..." So if he said that then, he was in doubt when he was on the ship. Why he was afraid. And let us not forget Judas. Sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver and then went and hung himself. If selling wasn't bad enough, then you're going to turn around and hang yourself. I mean, it's what I see. If young people, you can understand, if what's going on today, young folks is out there shooting people and then shoot themselves. You know how I feel. Hey, just go and shoot yourself. Don't shoot everybody else. But Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, I ask you, what is your soul worth? Is it worth more than 30 pieces of silver? Is that all it would take for you to betray Christ? Again, some folks is denying betraying Christ for less than that. Come. Peter had to pass them before he could reach Jesus. My question is, which characteristics might describe you? Or who do you have to pass in order to reach your destination? Who is Jesus? What are you going through? What could separate you or stop you from reaching your destination? In your lifetime, you will run into different people. Those that know everything. Anybody been around folks like that? They know everything and you can't tell them nothing. Then there's those that have everything. They don't want nothing from you and you can't give them nothing. Amen. Then there's those that are like Thomas. They won't believe anything you say or do. And of course, there are those that have the attitude, "Can any good thing come out of Tony?" I mean, I put my name there, but you put your name there. Can any good thing come out of you? That's exactly what they're saying about you. Because you done went to church and you call yourself believing in Jesus. I knew you back when. So... But I ain't back when there no more. Amen. And we're going to look at that. If you get past all of this that I just said, then you are surrounded by getting past all of this, that means you have now got out the ship. You follow with Jesus. Yes. But then you are surrounded by waves of hatred, the winds of malice, the storms of envy and strife. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say here? There is always something, and there's always someone you're going to be going through. But be not weary in well-doing. Hold the course. Help is on the way. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh what? Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Peter had to pass many obstacles. Now, let me give an example of a journey of a caterpillar. Anybody seen what a caterpillar look like? And when you look at it, you don't be smiling and want to get close to it, don't want to touch it. You know, just want to get away from it. Don't let it be in the house. A caterpillar goes through a lot before becoming a butterfly. Not only do they look creepy, but they must avoid the predators. Predators that would eat them, the people that would step on them, the ones that experiment with them, and while headed for the tree, they avoid being ran over. They can't move fast and really don't have a defense for themselves. They are very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. Once they get to their tree of choice, they make their cocoon for the final transformation. And before the caterpillar can become a butterfly, a change has to happen in the cocoon. The change is so great, when it comes out, you wouldn't even believe that it started out as a caterpillar. Amen. All of a sudden, you're not afraid to touch it. You find those that like to let it land on their finger. They're so pretty. All different kinds of caterpillars that have turned into all different kinds of butterflies. How many know that you are all different kinds of God's children? You started out all different kinds of not God's children.
Amen.
But now you've gone through a change. Do people believe you have changed like you see the caterpillar? It's very obvious that the caterpillar has changed into a butterfly. But is it very obvious that you have changed into God's children? The Bible says that any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But before we become a noticeable creature of God, we go through a change in our own cocoon.
Amen.
It's called the flesh dying to self. Amen. By being in Christ while dying to self, man will ridicule you and he'll step on you. He will try to experiment on you. And man will attempt to run you over. Even while transforming or changing, man will persecute you, accuse you, and condemn you. But just like the caterpillar does not give up, don't you give up on the eternal life that Father God has given you. Only in Christ will you be able to leave the old caterpillar of man and fly away as a butterfly that is in Christ. Now, we know God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Huh? But God is not asking us to sacrifice someone else. Jesus came and gave the sacrifice that was needed. So if you want to come, if you want to get off the ship, if you want to leave the cocoon of flesh and fly in the butterfly of faith, there's a sacrifice is needed. It is you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. It is you that must be sacrificed. You cannot sacrifice anybody else.
Amen.
Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said, I beg you by God's mercies. God's mercies for us are new every morning.
Yes. Yes.
Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants a living sacrifice, not a dead one.
Amen.
A living sacrifice. I mean, if we just got real natural, if I told you I'm going to give you a pet, would you want a dead pet? Huh? You want it living.
Amen.
If you want one at all, you want a living. Ain't much I can do with something dead. I mean, if I just look at my sis here, giving the baby some milk, that baby lied. Now, if that baby wasn't alive, she wouldn't be holding her arm giving the milk. She'd pass it on. God don't want nothing dead.
Amen.
He sent Jesus when he was alive. And he lived for us and died that we may have life. So now that you've got life, now that you've received him, I want you to present your body living. Living. And then he's not asking you to present somebody else. Yourself. Don't do it for daddy and mama. Don't do it for husband and wife. Don't do it for a friend. Or because everybody else is doing it. You know how we are. Everybody run. I don't know why they're running, but I'm going to run with them. Do it because it's right and because you believe it. Some have gone from the caterpillar stage or have attempted to pull off the old man, but are still in the cocoon. That's the carnal man. Some are still in the ship. That's the carnal man. The time has come. We need to get out of the cocoon.
Amen.
We need to get out of the ship. Peter passed all and walked on the water. The water held him just like it held Jesus. Huh? So if Father did it for his son, he'll do it for you. We too can walk as Peter did.
Amen.
We too can fly as the butterfly does. But you got to believe it. You got to ask. Then you got to come. See, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it.
Amen.
What is it that you want? What is it that you need? Paul goes on to say, we must present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least we can do.
Amen.
The least you can do is present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. God accept it. We go on to the next stage, right? And that is, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who are you going to prove it to? Father. Because he's the one that gives what needs to be given.
Amen.
Do you know, many spend their whole life as a Christian trying to prove to the world that they're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to prove to you who I am.
Amen. Amen.
My proof must be to Father God. See, study to show thyself approved unto
God.
A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, I study to show myself approved unto God.
Amen.
Because he's the giver of life. He's the giver of what it is that I'm asking for. Conforming to the world causes you to sink. Conforming to the world can clip your wings. Transformation is what the caterpillar went through. And we have our transformation that we must go through. Our transforming is the renewing of the mind. A renewed mind stops the storms so you don't sink. A renewed mind stops the winds so you won't waver. Look at Ephesians 4. If Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. This is who God gave us to show us the way.
Amen.
Today we have been given pastors according to his heart.
Amen.
That will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is why they were chosen. So we could be fed with knowledge and understanding. So we can be perfected. So we can work the ministry. So we can edify the body of Christ. Then it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is how long they are here with us. This is how long until we can reach this point, until we can come into the unity of the faith, until we can come into the knowledge of who the Son of God is. They are here with us. When we get out the ship, we won't sink. They are here with us because we need the truth to stay afloat. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby lie in wait, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No more children, saints. See, when I was a child, I spake, I understood, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away. Oh, the ways of a child will make you sink.
Mm, amen.
There have been things that we have not put down, and because we have not put them down, it has caused us problems.
Mm.
It clips our wings. Always telling the children to grow up. Well, guess who's supposed to be the first example? The one that opened their mouth and said, grow up. Do you know that, when I say that, do you know that we are too old to play with rubber ducks and boats in the bathtub?
Yeah.
Huh? Do you understand that? I mean, Bridget, what would you think if you went into the bathroom and saw DJ in there playing with a rubber duck?
Oh.
Boy, have you lost your mind? Is it time for me to lay my hands on you suddenly? So on the same note, if he's not supposed to be playing with a natural thing like that, do not play with life.
Amen, amen.
It's time to grow up. It's time to take life seriously. We have been given everything we need. Just like Peter had faith in what Jesus said to him, we must have faith in what Jesus said in his word. Peter allowed the circumstances around him to take his attention off what Jesus said. And I want you to understand this. He allowed the circumstances to take his attention off of what Jesus said. You will hear many, many messages, and it will describe in this message that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not he took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of what Jesus said. Regardless of whether I see him or turn my head, all I got to remember is what he said.
Yeah.
Come. A lot of us are sinking, not because we're not seeing Jesus, but we're not thinking or remembering what he said. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, regardless of what I'm going through, if I can remember what he said, I'm not going to sink. I don't care how ugly you get in your face, and I can't see Jesus in it, all I've got to do is remember what he said. Come. Do you know sometimes with husband and wife, rising get real ugly? Huh? We being fleshly real, right? Sometimes she ain't acting the way she's supposed to be acting. Now let me reverse it to her. She was waking on it. Sometimes I don't be acting the way I'm supposed to be acting. But she's got to remember what Jesus said. Y'all like that one, don't you? Huh? I got to fix that. We must always remember what Jesus said. As long as we remember what Jesus said, we won't sink. Huh? My attitude will fade away because of what Jesus said. My feelings will not arise because of what Jesus said. Do you know that's what we go through so much in life? Feelings. Preach to me, girl. Preach to me. And it ain't just with husbands and wives either. Siblings can go through it. Sister Ross and I know of a situation right now where family is just tore up. Daughter don't want to see the mama. And brothers fighting with brothers. I mean, it's petty. Stupid. What you need to do is keep your eyes focused on what's written. Huh? Because see, Jesus is in you. So you can't see in you. In fact, you know, if you take a minute and just look in the mirror. Do you know, I one time I tried to stare in the mirror and I just stared at myself. I didn't like it. All I could do was pick this and that. You need to see Jesus. See him and understand and remember the words that he's spoken. So again, Peter allowed the circumstances around him to take his attention off what Jesus said when he got out. Jesus told Peter to come. Don't allow your circumstances. Don't allow those things around you. Don't take your attention off the words of life that you have been given to deliver you from this life. With that, my time is up, and I thank you for yours. Amen.